Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19 for our text. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made the whole. As Jesus Christ was traveling towards Jerusalem, traveling through the areas of Samaria and Galilee, looks as though he was stopping in various places and stopping on various villages within these areas, moving towards Jerusalem. And we read here in verse 11 and 12 that he encountered 10 lepers. 10 men who had this horrible disease where the skin rotted and the body parts eventually rotted and fell off. Incurable at the time, and ultimately ended in their death. He encounters these 10 lepers, and verse number 12 tells us that they stood afar off. That was the standard procedure. That was what a leper was required to do during these days. They were to stay away from people and stay away from getting too close to people. And when they were coming in proximity of people, they were to cry out, unclean, unclean, as a sign that they were lepers and people would have been warned. Forewarned, if you would, not to come too close. And upon meeting these 10 lepers, Jesus Christ sends them to go to the priest of the people and to present themselves to the priest. This was for the purpose of their being certified, their being verified by the priest as having cleansed or been healed of their terrible disease. So they're sent to the priest to be certified as healed and cleansed. Obviously, en route, they're going to be cleansed, they're going to be healed. somewhere from the time the Lord gave them the instruction to where they would have found the closest priest to present themselves, they would have been healed. And verse number 15 tells us that as they are en route back or have turned back to go and find this priest, that one of the lepers sees he's been healed. I think it would have been obvious. I think it was obvious to all of these men. This skin rotting, nasty disease, you would know if you were made cleansed or you were made whole. And so he saw that he was healed, and he turned back to give glory to God. He turned back to say, hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Upon coming back to Jesus Christ, he's no longer going to keep the distance. He's no longer going to go through the ritual of unclean, unclean, and go through the motions. He's been healed. He's obviously healed. He comes back to give glory to the Lord. He comes back to fall at the feet of Jesus. Fall at the feet of Jesus and to worship him. He fell down at the feet of Jesus to give thanks. Upon which Jesus asked, were there not ten? Were there not ten lepers cleansed of their disease? One has returned, one is giving glory to God, one has fallen at the feet of Jesus Christ, one is giving thanks. Where are the nine left? Where are the nine others? Jesus Christ is inquiring. Jesus Christ is posing the question, where are the other nine? Why have they not returned? And Jesus says to the one that has returned, arise and go. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. In verse number 14, we see an example of common grace. Common grace. By common grace, we're talking about that which is shown to maybe everyone or to most. It is a grace, a display of God's favor that is shown to many. Shown to all in consideration of a particular group of people. Verse number 14 says, when he saw them, all 10 of the lepers, when he saw them, he said unto all of them without exception, when he saw them, those 10 lepers, he said unto them, all 10 of those lepers, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they, all of them, as they went, they were cleansed. See, one thing a leper could do, a leper could hang around with other lepers. They weren't under those restrictions as far as being around other people with the disease. They could colonize, they could collect. And here we find 10 of them collecting in a group, and one of them is a Samaritan. The Jews saw the Samaritans as unclean, saw the Samaritans as impure, and would have crossed the street to avoid encountering a Samaritan. But see, that doesn't matter when they've all got leprosy. They're all unclean. And Jesus Christ tells all 10 of them to go and show themselves to the priest, implying that as they go, they're going to be cleansed, and when they get to the priest, they will be verified or certified as having been cleansed and could be socialized again. All 10 of them had leprosy, and all 10 of them were cleansed, without exception. That's common grace. In the book of Luke chapter 6, I'm going to be very systematic and orderly and unrushed tonight. I just want us to get what I think is the main message here concerning these 10 lepers. The main message has to do with uncommon grace. Uncommon grace. These 10 lepers are shown common grace. They're shown a favor by God that is pretty much across the board, shown to everyone. You and I have experienced uncommon grace. Uncommon grace. And I get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. I get ahead of myself if I'm careful. But let me just step ahead for a moment and say that you and I who are saved, we've experienced uncommon grace. A brand of grace, you could say, that's for God's people and only God's people. And there is a grievous, grievous sin that is practiced by many of God's people who've experienced this uncommon grace. And that grievous, grievous sin that is practiced by so many who have experienced God's uncommon grace is the sin of unthankfulness. We are not thankful for this grace that has been shown us. We can sing about it. We can give lip service to appreciating it with amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But we spend very little time being thankful for the grace of God that has saved our soul. Shame on us. But the lepers here experienced common grace. The favor of God that is shown to significant numbers of people without exception. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, Verse 31. And as ye would that man should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind, God in the Highest, he is kind unto the unthankful. He is kind unto the evil. He shows grace even to those who are unthankful and evil. He shows grace to people, lost people. He shows grace to those that may never be saved. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Everybody's heard that. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God makes his Son to rise on everyone. He makes his sun to arise on the evil as well as the good. He sends rain upon the righteous as well as the unrighteous. And he showed grace to all 10 of these lepers. Without exception, he showed grace across the board. That's his way. That's his way. He lets the sun shine on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. He blesses people from all walks of life. God is good. He's not just good to his people. God's good to people everywhere. God is good. So we see here an example of common grace. And we find here in verse 17 and 18, Jesus answered and said, this is in our text, were there not 10 cleansed, and where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this one stranger. Seems like Jesus thinks all of those who have experienced common grace should be thankful. Well, let me ask you here tonight, you who are not saved, you who have never professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever stopped to consider how good God has been to you? Have you ever looked in the mirror and seen how He daily loads you with His blessings? Have you ever taken 5 minutes just to look and say, my, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I see all the sad stories. I see the commercials on television for the Shriners Hospital and St. Jude's and Children's Hospital. And it tugs at your heart to see children suffering from cancer and tumors and deformities and missing limbs. My friend, have you ever considered how God has blessed you? Being born with all your body parts, being born with a relatively sound mind, being born in a country where you can live free, where you can be happy and you don't have to think much about something terrible happening to you. Do you ever think about how good God has been to you in the parents that He's given you? God's good to all people. That's called common grace. Why haven't you ever thanked Him? Well, I'm not saved. I'm not responsible. You're still blessed by God with these uncommon graces. And I believe you ought to be thankful. What kind of a person are you if God has loaded you with uncommon graces and you're not the least little bit thankful? What does it say about your character if all you can do is take, and never stop to say, thank you, God. I'm not saved. I'm not one of your people, but I'm blessed. What does it say about us when we just take in these common graces and never give thanks? Here's the story of a man who was healed. He had experienced this common grace along with the other 9. And he turned to give God glory. He turned to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for blessing him. Oh, I beg of you, don't live a selfish life. Don't live an ungrateful life. Don't live a take life. Find it in your heart to thank God for the common graces that you have experienced. You think you got it bad? You're not looking around. All you have to do is look around and you'll find out how blessed you are. God has allowed you to benefit from His common graces. And how thankful you should be. Verse 15 and 16, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Amen. You know what it means when it identifies him as a Samaritan? You got 10 men. They all have leprosy. They're all unclean. But spiritually, the Samaritan was seen as more unclean. They were decried as unclean. Even if they didn't have leprosy, there was a great prejudice amongst the Jews regarding the Samaritans and those from Samaria. And here the Lord uses common grace, I believe, to draw this man to Jesus Christ. All 10 of them were unclean. All 10 of them had leprosy. All 10 of them were spiritually dead and lost. All 10 of them were healed. All 10 of them were cleansed. All 10 of them experienced the common grace of God. And one of them was healed. And God used that common grace that was shown him to draw him to Jesus Christ. To draw him back to Jesus Christ for something more significant to happen to him. God uses common grace to draw the lost. All you who are here without Jesus Christ, who don't think it's anything you want, who are hesitant and resistant, callous and cold, I beg of you to really consider how blessed you are. How blessed you are with these common graces, and how thankful you should be that God has shown you the many graces that are a part of your life. And all that you might see tonight, that the Lord uses common grace sometimes to draw sinners unto Jesus Christ. He pours common grace upon people to draw them to the uncommon grace of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He fell down on his face and he gave thanks. He was a Samaritan. He was, what I was trying to make a point a minute ago, he was more unclean than all of them in the Jews' estimation. And Jesus asked, 10 were cleansed. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? They didn't come. They were not drawn. There was only one found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. This Samaritan was the only one of the 10. And what does Jesus say to this Samaritan? Verse 19, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Arise, thy faith has saved your soul. See, all 10 of them were lepers, and all 10 of them had that physical need, and the Lord healed all 10 of them. But only one of them was drawn back. Only one of them turned to come back to Jesus Christ, to fall at his feet and worship him. And only one of them ended up being saved. Only one of them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Rise up. The one at his feet, rise up. Your faith has made you whole. His faith has made something occur within him that didn't occur in the other nine. And I think this is a point that is missed. The horrors of leprosy, the life that they had to live, the shame and the looks and all that they had to deal with was almost beyond our comprehension, not having ever lived, even in a culture or a society where this condition was prevalent. This one is granted faith to receive Jesus Christ, and the other nine are not. The other nine are not. But they were healed. But they were lost. They were cleansed. The horrible disease was gone. If they continued their journey and they went and appeared before the priest would have said, clean, clean, clean. They would have been healed, but they would have still been lost. But it's this one that returns to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ, and only this one hears Jesus Christ say, get up, go your way, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. See, we see common grace here in this passage of Scripture and in other passages of Scripture. We're not exhausting the references. We see that those who experience the common grace of God should be thankful. Whether you're a Christian or not, God daily loads you with blessings you ought to be thankful for. And you don't have to take my word on that. Take God's word. This is what God is teaching us. God uses many times our common graces to draw us to uncommon grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the uncommon grace that is shown towards this one man in verse number 19. We see this uncommon grace that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 speaks about. For by grace, not a common grace, for by grace, an uncommon grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And so, I want to impress upon you tonight, those of you who say you're saved, I put it that way because I don't know about anybody but myself. But to those of you who say you're saved, you have experienced before the Lord saved you and during the course of your life, you have experienced the common graces of God over and over and over again. And God saw fit at some time or another, if you're here and you're saved, God has seen fit at some time or another to draw you back to the feet of Jesus Christ and to have you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here and you are saved by the grace of God, I challenge you, I beg of you, I plead with you, I earnestly ask you, don't stop being thankful for your salvation. You've experienced the common graces of God, and God has seen fit to save your soul. And you ought to spend your time at the feet of Jesus Christ being thankful for your salvation. Not just in November, but every day of the week we ought to come before the throne of grace with thankful hearts that we've experienced His uncommon grace. It is a great challenge for you and for me to remain thankful. So many times we're no better, we're no different from the scribes and the Pharisees. As time progresses and we go down the road of life, we've been saved for a while, we get to feeling pretty deserving. We get to feeling how, what Jesus did for us on the cross was sometimes something we deserved. That's never true. Never true. Calvary. Calvary. Up Calvary's mountain, Jesus Christ went one dreadful morn. Golgotha, the place of the skull, Jesus Christ went for us. And we need to remain thankful. Remain thankful. I try to be mindful of words and expressions and things I say. I carefully say, because I think it's accurate, that one of the most common sins that you find in the lives of most of us Christians is that sin of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. Psalms 107. Psalm 107. Verse 1-3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. The Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He has redeemed them out of the hand of the enemy. He has redeemed us. Let us say so. Let's return and let us fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ and let us remain thankful. We're so blessed in every area of our life in this great country of ours. And it breaks my heart to see the wickedness and the ungodliness and just the blatant attitude towards sin in this political season. But in spite of it all, we're so blessed to live in this land. I think back over my life. And God has been so good to this sinner. I was born and raised in the Detroit area, suburbs of Detroit, Michigan, Dearborn Heights, Michigan. The houses were small little box houses, house after house after house after house. Most of the houses you could have gotten a car between. But it was a wonderful place to live, to grow up. We rode our bikes wherever we wanted to, played cops and robbers and chase, and took those playing cards. We had a good use for playing cards when I was growing up. You took it with a clothespin, and you put it through the spokes on your bike, and you put that clothespin on there, and you had a motor, you would go down there. I mean, that was living. We played hide and seek and jumped fences and climbed through shrubs. We're under the windows of people's houses, no telling what we heard. No fear. It was a wondrous life. The wondrous growing up. People say, oh, look at that guy. He's got that Parkinson's. That's bad. Well, for 46 years, I've been allowed of God to pastor New Testament Baptist churches. I think that's pretty good. I don't know what the future holds, but I know for 46 years he's allowed me to pastor in four different states. He's been so good. I remember the night that the Lord saved me there in Gethsemane Baptist Church, Taylor, Michigan. I remember walking the aisle and talking to Brother Homer Crane. I can see it in my mind like it was yesterday, sitting there on that front pew talking to Homer Crane. Another little boy named Danny Hall. He went forward about the same time. And after Brother Crane had talked to us for a little while, he asked us, well, if you were to die tonight, where are you going to go? And I knew I was going to heaven. The Lord saved me. Little Danny didn't seem to understand. He thought he was still going to hell. Like nothing had happened to him. His life tends to bear out that maybe nothing did. But something happened to me that day. Something happened to me that day. Think about your life. I've had the privilege of putting the radio broadcast together now for many months. And I've had the blessed privilege of reading you all's testimonies. And the details may vary a little bit, but the stories are pretty much the same. They're all the stories of how you were once a sinner, but now you're a sinner saved by grace. I thank God for those testimonies. Not in a couple months, but today. Not once a year or a few times a year, but every single day we have life, we need to be thankful for God's amazing grace. God's common grace is the favor he shows to many, many, many people. And he has shown it to many represented here today. You ought to be thankful for how good God has been to you. God uses common grace sometimes to draw sinners to the feet of Jesus Christ where they can experience his uncommon grace. And I pray that this might be the night you'll see Jesus and be saved. Ten came, ten were diseased, ten were cured, and ten were blessed, but only one came. Which one of those in the story is you? Which one is me? Are we an ungrateful, unthankful people? Nothing but complaints. Nothing but grumbling about how bad life is and how bad we have it and what we don't have. Have we ever really counted our many blessings? Has the common grace of God ever gotten a hold of you, saved your unworthy soul? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And the greatest thing you can ever say is to be able to say that same thing about you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I want to ask all the ladies in the church to stand up. Don't make me call you out by name. If you need the words, the hymn is 328. It's just a chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We sang it every once in a while with the kids. It's been sung enough to where you ought to know the chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Sing it like you mean it. Let me get you started. Just bear with the pain of the sound. Here we go. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you, to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Thank you, ladies. Sit down, please. Men of the church, now you stand up. We're going to sing the same song if it's true. All together now. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Now everybody stand. We'll sing it one more time with all voices. And the invitation is opened if anybody needed to bring any matter before this assembly. Let's sing it all together now, all in one voice. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You ought to sing that song as though you were there when it happened. And I hope you were there when it happened, because you'll never be the same. And I hope it happens to you who are not in Christ. I hope it happens real soon. You'll never regret it. Just taking, 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 and taking the common grace of the Lord. Just take, 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 never being thankful. You'll regret that. It'll catch up with you. But you'll never regret having the common graces of God bring you to the uncommon grace of seeing Jesus as your Savior and falling at His feet and giving thanks, and then doing that for the rest of your life. You'll never regret it. You can regret a lot of things, but you'll never regret truly being saved. Give you a little homework. It's no big deal. Try to go home and see how long you can maintain that tune in your mind and in your heart through the week ahead of you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. See how long we can go, how close we can get to the next Sunday service and still have a thankful outlook towards His goodness. Let's pray.